Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I'm George Jones and I'm your host for this week. And this week, my baby turned six. So he was six on Saturday and we had a party for him. It was all rainbow themed, requested by Cooper. And it was lovely. We had a great time. So happy birthday to my little boy Cooper. Cannot believe I am 6 years into this parenting journey. Today's guest is Chessie King, the founder of Welcome to Babyhood, a platform to support, guide, and empower parents through their first 40 days. She has amassed over 700,000 followers on Instagram with her uncensored takes on womanhood, describing it as a giant girls group chat. And I'm very lucky because she's one of my best mates. So I am a big part of that girls group chat. And what I must say is that Chessie King Carter, now she's married, is exactly the human she presents online that is everything you get when you meet her in person. Welcome to the show, my gorgeous friend, Chessie King. Now, you might not agree, but I'm going to say it, are the OG in the content creating world of everything when it comes to being positive about your body and who you are.
I love you for that. Thank you. When you say OG, that's just a nice way of saying that you're really old.
You're not, because you're younger than me.
I know, but you're old in the business.
You're a grandma. You're an Insta grandma.
That's it. Instagram. Yeah. Instagram. Yeah. It's funny because when we used to do it, obviously we've both kind of done it for the same amount of time. And when back in, I don't even know when it was. Everyone's like, when did you start? I'm like, well, decades ago. But the reason behind the feeling like we've done it for our entire lives is because we did it before video content. And imagine Instagram without video content. Like, we just did squares. Yeah. That was all it was. Just a little square.
There wasn't even carousels. There wasn't carousels. There wasn't video.
There wasn't stories. There wasn't stories.
We knew life before Instagram. Like, this is madness. Our kids are not going to know this, Chess.
No, they're not. They're not. And it's going to be glued to their hands. And no, I think trends come back around. Like, dog tooth came back in, and that then I was wearing it in Paris the other day. I was like, why am I wearing dog tooth when years ago it wasn't cool, and then years before that it was cool. And crimped hair.
You were rocking the crimped hair. It looked really good. Really good.
Thank you, G. I think I'm trying to basically relive the parts of me that were so like vibrant and exuberant. And I think we've talked about this like a lot with motherhood, that you used to be like just a firework. And like when you're a mother, you kind of have to reignite that. And it takes you a long time to get back there, doesn't it?
It does. And I think you don't always realise that you're not being that person anymore, that you're not that. Because I remember in the early days on social media with you, it was all like all fun. And then you had a child, obviously Ray, who's Aurelia, who's beautiful. And I remember thinking, oh, she's not quite as like wild on social media. But recently, and I said this to you, didn't I, the other day when we were having dinner, I said, I feel like you're coming back again. I can see this like brightness in your face, and you're getting your, well, you did a post about it actually. You said about getting your colour back, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely not an original quote from me at all, but it rung true with me. And the metaphor that I used when I was trying to explain it to one of my best friends who doesn't have a child is like remembering the first phone you had, like a Nokia. Used to play Snake on it. And that Nokia, it wasn't capable of the things that your iPhone now does or whatever phone you use. It's still the same concept. So we're still the ourselves, just we didn't realize how much we could do before we had children. And now that we are mothers, I look back and I'm like, I'm almost doing a disservice, like an injustice to my old self, that I want to be her again, because I don't want to be her, because I've morphed. Like, it's like a metamorphosis. Like, I've created this new dimension of being able to do the things that I never thought I could do. And that Nokia never thought that your phone would be able to do the things it does now.
Yeah.
Back when you were 12 and got your phone. So I try to think of it as like, anytime I go, oh, I mourn the old me, or it's not mourning the old me. It's actually wishing that I had the freedom and the capacity, the brain capacity to do the things I used to do. But actually now I'm more of a human. I haven't lost anything. I've gained a lot, like patience. And isn't it amazing what we can do? I just think it's phenomenal.
Totally, Chess. And like, that's the thing, like that. And you're right in that, like, you're never gonna be the person you were before you had a kid, but it's not a negative thing. We're just progressing. Our little brains and everything are like progressing in their journey, aren't they? And as much as we might like mourn, you know, our old independent, not having to keep another person alive life, we can get a different version of it again, eventually. It's just learning how we get it, isn't it?
That's it. And you hear so much about find pockets of me time. And sometimes when you're in the depths of sleep deprivation and you're just drowning in like washing and all of the things, you've got sore tits and all of that, it's hard to know what me time is, because when your husband or your partner or whoever you co-parent with or whoever helps you with the baby goes off with the baby and you have an hour, that hour then becomes your washing hour or your let's put on the dish. Like, it's like taking yourself away from that home environment and almost like remembering what you used to want to do and what you used to kind of do so frivolously, like without even, why did I use a word? I can't even think. I've always been like this with other people, but actually being with others charges me up. Like, it's almost like I just plug myself in. I'm with other people. Sometimes I want me time alone, but actually just being around people and not just talking about children and whatever really helps. And I think you have to ask yourself, like, what did I used to love doing? That's obviously just one example. Like, there's so many things, but yeah, there's a lot to rediscover, and it's a beautiful process. Like, it took me probably about 2 years to fully feel like, oh wow, this is my body, this is my time, this is...
Do you know what I love that you're doing at the moment as well, is you're showing you being out and about without Ray. You're showing that you can be a mother that works and that travels and that, you know, does other things. You're showing that you can work out and that be a positive thing. And it's not because we're doing this like dreaded snapback thing that everybody... But do you know what I've come to realise recently? I don't know whether you feel the same way, is that it's actually okay if we do want to work out for our mind and our body. Because I was like, I saw someone post something the other day and they were like, oh, I'm working out for my mind, not for my bum or something. I'm like, I'm working out for both. I want the pert bum. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. I really feel like we've kind of gone so far away. And especially with like the incredible body confidence era that has kind of happened and whatever. But I'm exactly the same. However, I do it for my mind, my body, and my future self. And I genuinely have had such a, like, it's almost shifted, like flipped my perception on moving. And my mum talks a lot about it, about how when you're 80, you want to be able to run with your grandchildren or take your dog for a walk or travel around the world and be able to carry your own suitcase or all these things that actually are so much more important than putting on a bikini right now and having 12 abs. But it's just so nice to have that like awareness and that respect for our future us.
Yeah.
So when I created Babyhood, I wanted there to be four pillars: body, brain, feeding, and sleep. And your body's best friend in Babyhood, which is an online video course, is Claire Bourne, and she's a phenomenal postnatal physiotherapist. She talks a lot about keeping like the lack of strength you feel after a vaginal birth or after a cesarean. I can only speak from experience, and I had a cesarean. You are literally starting what feels like from scratch, but you're only building on what you already knew. But it's almost a time to look at it and go, right, this is like full on recovery. How can I do things properly? How can I prevent injury? How can I feel the strong as I possibly can so I can pick up my daughter or son whilst I have shopping, and all these things that really do just make you appreciate everything after pregnancy. Because I was so sick during pregnancy, I couldn't even move. I think I did maybe 3 workout sessions in 9 months. Mm. And when I say workout sessions, I think I was just on a bike. And so now I'm like, how lucky am I to be able to move my body without pain, without being sick, without having a massive bump in front of me. So I think it's just all these things that happen, you really do, and it's like a daily thing. It doesn't just happen within like a snap. You have to really you have to expand your idea on, or your ideals.
So you had, what was it called, hyper,
that's it, say with confidence,
hypermus gravid somethingus.
It's literally like a spell. Hyperemesis gravidarum.
That's it. So, anybody that doesn't know, Chess suffered with that, didn't you, when you were preggers?
Yeah, pretty gross. Just being sick lots and lots and lots of times. And I didn't even know it was a thing until I was experiencing it. And I think it is quite, maybe not unknown, because like my auntie said, you're very lucky suffering with what the princess suffered from. And I was like, that 30 times a day, like being sick 30 times a day is pretty lucky, actually. I feel good. Yeah,
that's, if the royals do it.
Yeah, if the royals do it, then I'm a king, so I'm in that bracket. But it was pretty debilitating, and it definitely made me question having another one. And it's one of the reasons why I've left it a little bit longer than a lot of my friends, you being not one of them, because you're very sensible. But a lot of and I think we've had the conversation multiple times, like just being like, is this it? Am I just extremely grateful for having one healthy child? And is that enough for me? Do I really want to put myself through that again, mentally, physically? And I think we both experience, obviously we're both each other's therapists when we're together, and I just love that, like you can pay a stranger to listen to your problems, but actually sometimes your best friend is all you need to chat to, and it's more powerful sometimes. And I feel like we've both talked a lot about those, like we did it at very different times, but we saw each other from like a outside perspective, how much we really suffered in that first year and how much we were not expecting that. I mean, I remember holding Cooper. So Georgia, I could tell. So Georgia likes to back away from help.
And don't know what you mean.
Still do it. But yeah, it was like, she was like, no, she was like literally retracting. And I could just tell. And I was like, right, what do you need done? She was like, I need my nails doing. I have not had my nails done since I had Cooper. And I was like, right, I'm coming. I'm sitting in that nail salon and I'm holding him whilst you get your nails done. And he was tiny. And I think for a friend, sometimes in that really, those really early stages, mainly because you're exhausted and you just sometimes feel like no one wants to spend time with me because I just don't have any personality. And maybe because you also don't know where you need the help, I think it's really hard to say yes to it. And hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it? But I think you have to be really specific with what you need from a friend or a family member when they say, can I come and help you? If you say, oh no, don't worry, it's fine, but you in the back of your head you're like, oh, but there's that washing to do, or there's that dog to take for a walk, whatever, or oh, actually all I do need is someone just to hold them whilst I get something done for myself. And if you are in that right now, or if you are going to go through it again, I think just being really specific and be like, actually, you know what, if you could come over and just tidy up what I left from this morning because my partner's gone off to work, that's all I need. And
Do you know, and honestly, Chess, for all the listeners, that I think, because you were forceful with it, but in the best possible way, because you were like, no, I am coming over and I am helping. Because I was, and in the early days, and I've talked about this before, I was in complete denial and I was trying to prove myself to everybody, thinking if I can't do this all myself, I am failing. Because I was the first of like everyone to have babies, as in like friendship group. I didn't have, apart from my sister, but my sister was just very maternal, and she's a doctor that looks after babies, so you know she knows what she's doing. And I just didn't want to fail, and me accepting help was failing anyway. Chess pushed herself into my life and took that little Cooper away from me, and honestly it was one of the best mornings of my life. Anyone listening, it is so important to ask for that help, even if it is something as materialistic as getting your nails done, because I've always had my nails done. It's just been my thing. And the fact that I had roots, I didn't have my nails done, I just felt really unkept, was a big thing for me. And it was something that I needed to make me feel better about myself. And it's like, even just sleep, like, you know, if that's all you ask for, just come and sit with the baby whilst I sleep. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to make conversation or have to make you a cup of tea. I'm really tired.
Just having someone in the house as well. I feel like just having that other person in the house that you know. I only trained as a doula to learn how to be more helpful to my friends that have children. Yeah, I just think it's so important. Like whenever anyone says, oh, my best friend's having a baby, how can I help them? I'm like, well, one, buy Babyhood. Two, listen to Mum's the Word podcast. And three, just go over and sit with them, or just go over and without even asking, put on that wash, because no one's going to say, unless you're best friends with them or your mum, say, oh, can you put my dirty knickers that have probably got skidders in and probably all blood because I'm still bleeding from postpartum. Can you just put them in the wash for me, please? But like, if you just do it, it's the best present anyone. I don't want your baby grows. I don't want all the fancy rattles and the cute little muslins. I just want you to come and clean my knickers.
I want you to clean the skinnies off my knickers, and a cuddle would be great. Thank you.
A cuddle would be fantastic. I seem to be giving a lot here. But actually, talking about cuddling, and we won't go too far into this because obviously everyone's situation is different, but I feel like every mom I speak to has just that feeling of like, I want to be mothered myself. And sometimes we just can't do that. Like, I try and say to a lot of mums that I follow, whatever, they're like, I don't know what to do because I'm giving myself away. And I'm like, right, one, you've got to be vocal with your partner and say, this is what I'm able to do, but this is what I really need your help on. And, or actually just ask them, like, what do you enjoy doing out of all of the parenting things? Because I remember Matt used to hate bath time, and I was like, I love bath time, because I just get in the bath with her, and she just like, it was just calm, like very calm. And everyone used to say, get into water, it just solves everything. So I knew he didn't want to do bath time, whereas like there were things that he enjoyed a lot more than me. So we kind of worked that out through communication. But then the whole mothering, we're trying. The whole communication thing, it's really hard to say what you want, but in a really respectful way, just be like, look, this is where I'm at. I'm at 10%, and you seem to be charged up because you've gone to work. So would you be able to just step in here, like tap in, tap out? And sometimes it does feel like you're tag teaming. So coming back together and doing things together, like having a dinner before they go to sleep and just having the baby around, like there are things that feel really impossible to do, but with two people, it does kind of feel a little bit more possible. However, I was going to say the mothering thing, like, with their chauffeurs, with their chefs, with their milkshake machines, even if you're feeding them with a bottle, you're constantly making milk for them with what, like, whatever. And I feel like we become all these roles to them, like their massager, their bather, their everything. And we forget to do all of those things for ourselves. So I always try to say, like, as much as sometimes you don't have the energy to mother yourself, like, do all those things, make that meal for yourself when you've fed them. We just get lost, don't we, under the pile. And
yeah, we do. We're bottom, aren't we?
Right now I'm second.
Are you? Who's bottom?
I'm second in command. I feel like I've definitely pushed myself higher. I look at the washing now, I'm like, oh, you can wait. Just wait for me. You can go down the aisle. I'll stay up.
Do you know what I found a little bit? I found, like, two things happened. I lost my voice a little bit with everything and my ability to go, can you just do that? Or I felt like that was me being, like, demanding and naggy. My mindset has obviously changed now, but in the early days. And then I felt like I just lost all my confidence in asking, like, Danny to do something. And, like, it was just such a big ask. And I eventually, like, got to thinking, but we're both equal here in this parent journey. Like, why should I feel guilty about asking? Or why should I even be asking, can I go out tonight? Can I go for dinner with my friend tonight? I got to a point where I was like, why am I asking permission? What's going on? Who is this person? Where's Georgia gone? Someone once said to me, they were like, that is so unlike you. You would just be like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, this is this. Like, you know, I've always been very, very honest and vocal with my opinions. And it went, like, completely. It's back.
I see that. And when did you feel like that shifted? How many years postpartum? Or how many years was
maybe
Cooper?
Last year? 5 years in.
Gee, that is wild.
And, it took a long time. Like, yeah. I don't think you realise, though. We've talked about this before, haven't we, Chess? Like, you don't realise how you're being. You don't realise that you've lost a bit of you, or that you're not as bright, or your sparkle's gone a little bit. Like, I always say, like, I look back at photos of, like, early days, and I just look so... My eyes look, like, dead. Like, I'm smiling, but there's nothing there. I can see it. It makes me sad, actually, when I look back at those photos, because I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't look, like, fed up. But, you know, is what it is. It doesn't matter what you do as a parent, as long as you're happy, as long as your kid sees the happy you. If your thing is you're really good at doing, like, role-playing with them, I am not good at that. But, like, for example... And that's what they love, and, like, that's, like, really fun time for you. Great, that's your thing. You go with that. And if you're shit at cooking, fine. They're not going to remember you for that. They're going to remember you for the really fun things that you did with them.
Yeah, I love that. I am awful with cooking with Ray. Oh, I just can't deal with the mess. I think, you see all these YouTubers that are like, cook with me and my 2-year-old. I'm like, what? Who's cleaning up? Who is cleaning all that batter up? Because
it's the eggs.
Oh, the eggs. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, don't eat the raw egg. I just can't. It's not for me. And I'm never going to be that mum that cooks with their child. When you say you look back on photos, I kind of listened back to a few voice notes before I had, like, a full-on meltdown when I texted the Golden Girls group, which G is in, and I basically said, is anyone free? And everyone knew that was a call for help. I wasn't like, because I'm very much like, and I've said this to quite a few of my friends, I'm very aware that everyone has their own shit going on in their lives, and sometimes you're not in the right headspace, or you don't have the capacity to help your friend who is in desperate need. However, all my friends were like, no, we would drop everything and be there for you, like, as a friend you are. But I know that a lot of my friends have lost family members and whatever, and that they're grieving, and sometimes they just don't want to hear. That's how I felt. They don't want to hear my shit. But actually, all of you said, no, Chess, seriously, we'd be there. So this was before, and I remember voice noting, I was voice noting Bronte, my sister, and my mom. And I just remember saying, I can't believe I'm finding it this hard. Like, why am I finding it this difficult? And I still have moments of that. I really like understood why, because there was this thing that I read the other day that said, we've been told our whole lives to get good grades from exams, or like to learn all the steps to then get, we've been like molded by the system of like school to be good at things and to be right at things. And actually being a mother, you're not told, there is no right or wrong. It's literally just personal for you. Obviously there are things that are wrong, but we're talking like, there's that constant question of like, first time mum, am I doing this right? Is this meant to feel like this? Because you've got nothing to compare it to apart from like, obviously experience and time of being a parent. You can look back and go, oh, well, I just cared too much about that. I really shouldn't have. And all of those things that, yeah. But I think there's so much power in just accepting that there are going to be days that feel impossible. And then there are going to be days and sometimes not even days, just moments and pockets of like, oh, this is so worth it. But there are still moments where I laugh at the Chessie that thought she'd have six children and like literally a football team worth of children. And now I'm questioning whether I even want a second.
Hi all, it's TV's Gail Porter here. I am so excited to tell you that I am joining the Paranormal Activity family and will be hosting a number of live podcast recordings across the UK. The first is on the 6th of March at London's haunted Richmond Theatre. Expect terrifying tales, audience interaction, and hopefully a spirit or two. I can't wait for you to join me and to hear your own paranormal experiences. You can find tickets at www.paranormalpod.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay.
I put something on social media the other day and said something that I think Cooper is going to be our only one. And loads of people messaged and they were like, wow, it's amazing that you've said that. Like, and I was like, why? It makes no difference. Makes no difference whether you've got one or six. And you and me were really similar in our parenting journeys in that sense of that you and me both like, yeah, we'll probably have like three. Then we had one and we were both like, yeah, I think we might be done.
It might be enough. Yeah. And then we look enough at all of our friends with two under two and we're like, you're not selling it to us.
Yeah. Oh my God. My best friends, they've got two under two, are all like, yeah, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm so past the two under two stage, I don't think I'll ever do that. But there is that constant, like, do I really want this again? And it's not just you, it's your partner. And like, we've been very open, Matt and I, maybe not on social media because it's quite a personal thing, but I'm sure he won't mind me talking about like the feelings that he's had as well, that like responsibility of becoming a father. And also just like, it's that dynamic between you, it shifts completely. And sorry, I see all these like, how to keep the spark alive with your husband after being together for 10 years and having four children. And it's like, booking a date night every week. I'm like, who's looking after your kids and how are you doing that? And also like, come on.
If we were billionaires, okay, right. We'll get a living nanny and we'll have a date night.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah, so we've had that discussion multiple times of, do we want to go through this again? And sometimes one partner wants it more than the other. And that's a really hard dynamic because it's a really hard conversation to have because you came first. And
yeah.
Then put future children and in hope that we would be able to have future children before your relationship, just you two, is really difficult, especially when you want different things.
Yeah. And the thing is as well, like when it is just you two, before you have a kid, you can put your full energy into that other person. And of course, when you have a baby, you can't. You cannot put every single bit of you into your husband or your partner anymore, because it's impossible. And that's why we end up being at the bottom of the pile, because we're trying to keep everybody happy. We're like, you know, our husband still needs us, but our baby needs us. Where's the time for me to be me? And I think that's it. It's the progression of being a mother, and you eventually, a light bulb moment, something goes off and you go, oh my God, I know what I need. I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this. I think you and me have both realised what it is that we need to do, where we need to go, who we need to spend time with, to set our little spark back off again.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I think on social media, I find the comments that say, how are you spending so much time away from Aurelia, really interesting. I don't find them offensive in any way, because I'm like, the 80% of my life that I spend with Ray, I'm fully with her, but I don't show her on Instagram. So what, like, I don't show her face on Instagram. So why, like, it's difficult. And I also don't want to just be like on the phone. I never am on my phone with her. So you don't see those bits. Whereas you're going to see the 20% where I am off on a brand trip, and it looks like I'm on multiple hen do's in 1 week. And that has happened. I'm feeling slightly fragile. Like that time with her, I'm not going to show online, because it's our time. It's precious. It's amazing. And just because you're not seeing it on social media, it doesn't mean it's not happening. I like find that just so fun.
Yeah.
But I think, what is the point in feeling that guilt? And I know it's easier said than done to not feel guilty. It's an emotion that comes up, like anger, like happiness, like frustration. Mm. But guilt, I've never felt guilty, because I know that when I'm with her, I am fully with her. And I know that that first year of her life, I spent maximum half an hour away from her, because she was super glued to my tit the whole time.
Yeah, you know you've done the best you can as a mum. You know that you have been mum and you are mum. And the thing is, if the dad goes off and is at multiple stag do's and away all the time, nobody questions them, do they?
No. Nope.
But when we're away, well, who's looking after?
Yeah.
Who's looking after your child? Probably the dad, because you know they're at home, so that's how parenting tends to work. And it's people don't ask, and then that's when we get like shamed. That's where I think that's where like the mum shaming happens, and the mum guilt bit comes in, is that people are like, so why aren't you looking after your child? It's like, I am looking after my child, but I'm also allowed to look after me and go and do things I want to do, because I'm still a person. Like, your life does not stop when you have a child. That's not the way it's meant to be. Somebody said to me, you can either have a child but your whole life will stop, or you never have a child and your life continues, I'd be like, right, yeah, I probably won't have a child then.
Yeah, the latter.
Selfish as it is, like, selfish in a really good way. I also want to live a life. That is why I'm alive. I've been brought on the planet to live.
Absolutely.
And do things I want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we want Cooper and Aurelia to see us doing those things, because I want her to go, oh, how fun was that? That mum was just like in Morocco and then went to Paris. And like, she's not going to go, why did you leave me? Because I'm going to come back and we're going to have the best time when we're together. Like, I just find it funny, that judgment, and that, like, there are always going to be people that judge you, whether that's immediate family, like, oh, you're not doing that right, or friends, or strangers. And I just think, oh, it's hard enough as it is. So
just go away.
Yeah, that's nicer.
Just don't bother. I do want to ask you, I actually mentioned it in the intro and you've mentioned it a couple of times, but I then didn't go into it because we like to go off on tangents, don't we? But welcome to babyhood. Two questions. First one is, what made you develop it? But the second one is also, what exactly is it for anybody that doesn't know what it is and might want to have a look at it?
It's an online video course for new parents in the first 40 days. And it literally takes you through from the moment you get home, you get a video per expert. So brain, body, feeding, sleeping, and they are bite-sized videos for you to watch when the baby is hopefully sleeping, or when you're just like, help, what do I do? And I curated it with four experts who are phenomenal, and they help support me through pregnancy, through postparty. And I've tried to bring them all together and make it really accessible, really affordable, because I was buying this sleep course literally the like at 6 p.m. I was like, I just needed sleep. And I'd be like binge watching all the £150 video course that I spent, like this American lady who was basically like, put them down, awake, not asleep. And I was like, I know that, but I just want to, really want someone to help me with my brain. So I kind of just put what I knew would help, and I just made what I needed to hear at that point. And I mean, I think Ray was 3 days old when I said to Matt, I think I'm going to make something for people that are feeling the same way as me. And my milk had obviously just come in, and I was like, I just want parents to feel like they can be helped and supported in a way that, like, you feel like they're all in the room with you. So we are, well, I am, when I say we, it's hilarious, yeah, because it's literally just me. So I am creating a new pillar called Play. It's the Play pillar, and it's basically how to interact. Because I found it, yeah, I'm sure you did, found it really, really overwhelming. The whole, when do I actually play with them in between the serious bits of changing them and trying to put them to sleep? Like, when do we get that fun point? When do we even get that? And I think that's what it's missing. Yeah. So we've got a play element with an incredible play expert. Then we have holding your hand through IVF and beyond, which is coming in a few months. So that's inspired by a lot of my friends that have been through IVF and talk incredibly openly about it, and not necessarily positively. So I want it to help those that are going through it for the first time or maybe the fourth time. And then I really want to, and this is just future projections, do a surrogacy and adoption course, because I understand that families grow in so many different ways, and sometimes you can't carry your own child, and it will all be real families and real stories backed up by experts with the knowledge and the science and the qualifications.
You're a little modern day Mother Teresa. I think Chess needs some kind of, like, OBE or MBA. I don't know what they stand for, but
I don't deserve a knighthood. The experts on the course deserve a knighthood. I love you.
One thing I do want to cover, because me and Chess are very similar in this sense, is that our husbands are away quite a lot, and a lot of it falls on us, doesn't it? And we've had a number of conversations about this, because it's actually quite hard, isn't it? Because often it might be very, very last minute as well, mightn't it? And what's hard, I think, for like mums is that for some reason, and I do not know why, it falls on us to, if both parties are, both parties sounds very serious, yeah, but both members of the couple are busy, and it's a husband-wife relationship as opposed to, you know, two men or two women, it always falls on the woman to be the one that organises childcare or has to stop doing whatever it is that they want to do or that they've got planned. Because for some reason, it seems that, like, there's still, and it shouldn't be a thing, like this hierarchy where the men get to do
even just going for a run. I remember when Ray was tiny and Matt used to just leave the house to go for a run, and I was like, how are you doing that? Like, I'm just stuck at home, you know. I don't know when to, like, yeah, how are you even managing to get out the house? And that freedom starts from literally the moment, and that's where I think the resentment builds up, and especially when they go away. Like, I've got to say, I go away quite a lot for work as well, and Matt says that he's tallying it up, so it's actually a competition now who goes away the most. As in, I'm like, mate, no, we don't do that. But I do find one of my friends said the other day, the amount of days that they go away for, that they are away for, correlates with the amount of hours it takes me to warm up to him. So if he's been away for 10 days, and it's going to take me 10 hours to warm up to you again, mate, because you've been away for far too long.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because when he's away for work, it's fine. I know that he's away for work. However, when he's away on a stag do or just on a golf weekend with his mates, I have a very different level of patience for him.
it just boils up, doesn't it? And I think this is the thing, is that, you know, when you said before, like, Matt could go on a run and you'd be like, how have you gone on a run? Because they don't ask, they go. And this is the thing, we sit there and we're like, God, oh no, I'd feel terrible if I went for a run right now, because that would mean I'd have to, you know, be void of any responsibility for half an hour whilst I go on this run. I couldn't possibly do that and leave my husband to fend for himself and our child. And it's like, why is that how our brains work?
It's mad. And it takes me a lot to think, right, don't be pissed off, because when you go away, I don't want him to feel the same way. But yeah, there are, obviously, it's natural. And I think, do you know what I really like doing when Matt is away? I don't actually send it, but sometimes I write, like, if I'm feeling a little bit like, oh, I start to raise it, scream on that evening or whenever I have a moment, I like write out a message that I would send, but I don't send it. And then I just feel a bit lighter. I'm like, oh, well, I've said it. He didn't need to hear it, but I've said it. And then maybe when he comes back, I'll tell him.
That's a good idea. Just have a section in your notes, what I'd like to say to my husband, but haven't. And then one day they might accidentally find it and you'd be like, oh dear.
Whatever way it makes you feel better, and sometimes you feel like you are bitching, but it's normal. Yeah. We're all feeling it.
Listen, we say it with love, but just with love and a hint of resentment.
Just a sprinkle of resentment.
A sprinkle of resentment. And I think majority of people out there probably feel very, very similar.
Yeah.
But it helps. It helps when we talk. It helps when people are honest and open and share their experience.
That's it.
That's what we're here
Nobody wants to hear that you've got the perfect relationship and the perfect child and your child slept 12
exactly.
hours and you and your husband are still in love and having sex 12 times a day.
Do you know what? If my kid was a good sleeper, I don't actually think I'd tell people, because I just think it doesn't benefit anyone.
You don't want to know.
All it's going to do is piss people off. Yeah, we don't want it. Nobody wants to know if your child is a good sleeper. They just don't.
No, tell me that.
And that's where we're going to end it.
Well, I'll tell you that Ray just took off her nappy, even though we're meant to be potty training. And we're not even potty training. She just loves sitting on the main toilet with like a little toilet seat on top. So I just said, do you need a poo? And she went, yeah, I need a poo. She'd already done one, didn't realise. She pulled the nappy down, so all the poo spread in between her legs, whipped it off, and honestly pooed with it. And started as I got to my parents' house, and we haven't been home for a while, and I don't think they want us back, because I was just like, I'm so sorry, I've got a podcast recording, gonna have to clean it up. But yeah.
Oh my God, have you left your mum clearing it up?
I did get the baby wipes out, and I did try and it's just hilarious, isn't it? I just try and laugh, and I'm like, you're basically me when I was your age, so I've done this before. Stop being a hypocrite, Jess. Like,
I love you. But before you go, quickly, how many times have we said we love each other?
I feel like every voice note I ever sent you starts with I love you, middles I love you, and ends with I love you.
And then a lot of chaos in between, normally.
Normally.
Just quickly before you go, where can anyone that wants to find out more about babyhood or have a look at it, where can they find it? What do we do? Is there a link?
It's www.welcometobabyhood.com, and I don't ever post on the Instagram, so don't look on there, because you know when I don't have time. But yeah, I will give a 40% discount. Mum's the word. If you use Mum's the word, gets 40%. I've already created it.
Oh, well done. Oh, look at you. You're just such a good supportive friend, aren't you?
Mum's the word, isn't it?
And for the last time, love you.
I adore you, and thank you everyone, honestly, and thank you for creating this beautiful episode, because it's so wonderful to be able to talk to my best friends and for people to listen to it.
And call it work. Look at us.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Well, thanks, Chess, and I'll speak to you probably in about an hour.
Bye, gorgeous girl.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50.
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.